Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. Sharon, welcome back.
It's good to be here and great to be here on Tax Day.
And our listeners really enjoy having you in the studio with me, especially on the days that we take their calls. And we're going to be doing that again today. And by the way, we love talking to you and being on this journey with you. So if you have a question that you'd like to ask us, you can submit that question online. Just go to our website, crown.org, and click the Ask Chuck button, and you'll be able to send us your question. And each one will get a personal reply. Either I will do it or someone will contact you about asking your question on a future program. And today is tax day. You can't avoid it. April 15th is here. Sharon, is this a good day or a bad day in your home?
Well, it's actually a non-event because we experienced tax day about a month and a half ago, but I know that many of you will be experiencing it today.
And I know you know the percentage of Americans who are going to receive a tax refund.
We have about 75% this year.
And the average is?
$2,400.
Yeah, so this is usually a good day for most people because they get money coming back. And like your home, Sharon, it's already happened in our home. We do our taxes very early, just as soon as possible. And we get a refund every year, and we've already received it. Have you?
We've gotten ours as well.
So what are you going to do with it?
Well, Joel and I have a list of goals that we have for the family, and our next goal that we wanted to tackle was to use some of the space in our basement for ministry needs. So we're already in the process, have started the construction process of building that out.
Well, and in our home, Sharon, we're going to use the refund that we get to meet some of the goals that we've established for our children. By the way, we get asked a lot, what should I do with my tax refund? And I know you and I totally agree on this, that following the plan set out in the money map in sequence is always the best advice.
It really is. And so if you have that question and want to know, grab a money map and look and see what destination you're on and what the next step would be. That's a great way to figure it out.
So many people get it out of order where they have long-term savings set aside in a fund that will be penalized if they ever have to use it. And many, many people are cash poor today, and they need to rebuild those emergency reserves or pay off credit card debt.
They do. And when you have a surplus plan, and that's just a simple plan that says if we get any extra income, here's how we'll use it, then you know ahead of time how you'll spend it.
Well, Sharon, we're going to be taking calls from around the country and, in fact, around North America, because our first call will be coming from Terry in Saskatchewan. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
A successful business in a challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes wisdom, the kind of wisdom that can only come from the time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills found in the Bible. Authored by financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring, borrowing and lending, tithing on business income, and much more. Whether you're a startup, an established firm, or you work for someone else, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you with wisdom from God's Word. To purchase your copy of Business by the Book or to learn more about other business tools and resources, go to crown.org. That's crown.org. Or call us at 1-800-722-1976. Begin building a biblical foundation for business success today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps, and it's tax day, and I hope you've already gotten yours done. We're going to be taking your calls, and on the line with us is Terry from Canada. Terry, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you. I understand that you listen through the web.
Yes. Well, that's where I first got in touch with your organization, yes.
Well, thank you for contacting us. How can we help you today?
Well, I'm a treasurer of a small rural church, and we have a situation where we're repeatedly approached by the occupants of a house that has some questionable background. We know drugs have been involved and so on, and we're struggling with the question, is there ever a time when one should not give as a Christian? We've been praying about it a lot. We get requests on an ongoing basis from different occupants from this house, and we're a little concerned that what we're doing is enabling them and encouraging a welfare mentality. But at the same time, you know, we want to be true to what our Lord wants us to do.
Yes.
So that's the tough question we have.
Well, it is a tough question, Terry, because the Bible actually teaches two principles that need to be balanced. The first is to give liberally and generously to those that are in need, and you're obviously fulfilling that principle. But the other principle is what Paul taught, that if a person does not work, they should not eat. So obviously, generosity has to be viewed with discretion. And there's a wonderful book that I personally endorse that I'd like to recommend to you. It's called When Helping Hurts by Dr. Brian Fickert. And he gives some really good examples of how to help other people without enabling them. And Sharon has had some great experience in the benevolence ministry in a very large church. And Sharon, you found that there are other resources that can help people besides cash gifts.
Terry, I really appreciate the dilemma that you're in. We faced it so many times. And actually, there were four things that we learned that might be helpful to you. And I want to give those to you now. The first one is be sure that you've checked with other churches and organizations in your community to find out whether they're also helping the family. We found many times in this circumstance that people would end up double dipping and actually be getting more help than we were aware of. And it was just a good stewardship of our church's money to make sure that that was not the case. Secondly, I would ask them the next time they ask for help, if they are willing to allow you to evaluate their entire financial picture instead of just meeting that immediate need, will they sit down with you and share the details of their full situation? And then thirdly, develop a system for accountability when you do give them help. If they say that they are wanting money for groceries, then the requirement would be that they bring back the receipt for the groceries that they bought. And then number four, ask if they'd be willing to participate in either counseling or additional education. And those were just four points that we found would sift through those that truly were wanting help to improve and those that were just looking for a handout or that we were enabling.
Terry, does that help you?
It does. It does help. The one challenge we face is that we are a very small church, so our resources are limited and so on. But I think what you've outlined here is really what we have discussed these, and what we've got to figure out is how within our small world, as it were, that we can put those to work.
Well, and I think just a direct question to those that are receiving help, such as, you know, we really love you. We know there's an ongoing amount of request. What can we do to help you be self-sufficient? Because our goal as a church would be to love you enough to help you get back on your feet. And if they're in this nightmare of drugs, then you need to drill a little bit deeper, as Sharon suggested, and help them to find counseling someplace that can free them from that habit.
And Terry, I'd love to send you our Money Life Basics book. It's called Giving and Generosity. In the back section of that book, it outlines the types of questions you can ask and might give some helpful food for thought as you're praying through it with your church leadership.
Well, that would be very helpful. Can you give me the name of the author of that other book that you mentioned earlier, Dr.?
Yes, Dr. Brian Fickert. I think it's spelled F-I-K-K-E-R-T, When Helping Hurts.
Great.
Terry, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for your help.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Chuck, I think next we'd like to talk to Lyle. He's calling from Parkersburg, Iowa.
Lyle, welcome to Money Life.
Hi there.
Great to have you today. How can we help you?
Oh, I just had a question with a financial matter involving a loan for a camping organization.
Okay.
We are in the middle of a building process, building a new dining hall, and we are at $1.1 million on a $1.3 million project.
You mean you've raised all but $200,000?
Correct.
Okay.
And we are nearing the final stretch here. And we have built as the money have come in, and we've done this in phases, And now we're on the home stretch and we want to get done. We have been offered by our region a sum of money, a loan, interest-free loan, and just wondering whether we should go with that. It is a one-year term loan, interest-free. The principle that we started with was that we wanted to raise the funds and have the funds on hand before we proceeded with a phase.
And did you say you're in leadership with this camping organization, Lyle?
I'm on the board of directors.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd be happy to give you my insights into this challenge because I don't want to cause strife with your organization in any way, but my advice.
We're looking for advice.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to give that. My advice is that debt is always presuming on the future. And I think in this environment, it's very risky to take out a loan, even though it's a small portion of your overall project. I know that camps are experiencing very challenging times right now. They're not expecting the same participation levels because of the recession. So I believe it's best to avoid debt and stick to the original course. And it's been my experience that donors will respond to the need to finish out this project more if it's not completed than if you're asking them to pay down your debt. We've got to take a break, Lyle, but there's some more I'd like to talk to you about. Will you hang on? Well, Lyle, we're going to have to take a break, but if you're listening today and you have a question you'd like to ask us, you can submit it online. Just go to our website, crown.org, and click the Ask Chuck button. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Not sure where your money's going? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't always to make more money. Often it's learning to manage what God has already given you. And Crown Financial Ministries has something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes is one of the most advanced online money management systems ever. It will help you easily create a home budget online in a secure environment and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you how much you have left to spend in any budget category. You'll have access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. And Sharon, today we're talking to Lyle about a church-related or a camp-related debt question. So many listeners want to know how to manage debt when it comes to building facilities or even expanding churches in regard to debt. And you've had a lot of experience with that.
Well, I was on staff with actually a church that faced this very same dilemma. We made a commitment to build a youth building. It was a $2.4 million project. And we did make a commitment to build it debt-free. And like you, we built it in stages. And I just wanted to give you a celebration story that might encourage your leadership team. Because of the fact that we'd made that commitment, it actually became a rallying point for the donors. And they literally, as we would end one stage, they would come around us and say, do we have enough funds to start the next one? We don't want the project to stop. And it became a sense of community. And there was actually energy in that process. And what we really learned that we didn't expect is it was a huge testimony to the community, to those around, because they learned what we were doing and they watched how God provided in so many unexpected ways. So at least for us, we saw that the value of our testimony about God's provision was worth way more than it would have been to have taken out a loan and rushed ahead to complete the project.
Well, that is kind of what our feeling is, or my feeling is anyway, that it's so much easier to raise funds for a phase of it than it is for a loan.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Lyle. And I would recommend that you consider, have you built some of the project already? Is there some of the construction done? Yeah, I would recommend that you meet with your board and some of the donors in the location that you're building and just pray and ask the Lord to provide to complete it and wait for a while and see what God does.
Mm-hmm. Is there a scripture that we can back this up a little bit with?
Well, certainly Romans teaches us that no debt should remain outstanding except the debt to love one another, and also that the borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7 is the verse that we typically fall back on, that we want to avoid being in financial slavery to a lender of any kind, even if they're offering very favorable terms, and just to wait and patiently trust the Lord.
Okay. Well, I appreciate this, and we'll let you know how this all turns out.
Okay, Lyle, stay in touch, and God bless you.
Thank you.
You know what? Our next caller is Mindy. She's from Dayton, Tennessee. Welcome, Mindy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, Mindy, we're glad to have you on Money Life. How can we help you today?
My fiancé, Scott, and I will be getting married in June, and we were just wondering what steps we could take in order to be financially secure as far as making a budget, getting out of debt, and preparing for our future family.
Well, congratulations. This is exciting, Mindy.
Yes, we are very excited.
How do you and Scott know about Money Life?
Both of our families have used Crown Financial, and we have heard about growing up through both of our families and also through our church.
Okay, so did somebody put you up to making this call?
Yes.
Oh, yes, they did. Okay. Well, let me give you some input, Mindy. First of all, I think that being on the same page is one with your finances is one of the best ideas that anybody has suggested to you. It's the number one stress in marriage. So if you start off right, you're going to be in great shape. Do you have any debt right now, Mindy?
We both have college bills.
Okay, so you have some student loan debt you're going to need to take care of, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, the simplest plan is to get a copy of the Money Map, and I want to send that to you today and have you and Scott sit down and look at it. And the first thing you're going to do is to fill out the section on your life purpose. You want to discuss how you want to approach your life and how you want to allow God to use you as a couple, and then to convert your purpose into short and long-term goals, and then to start following the plan, beginning with Destination 1, where you begin to save money and live with a spending plan. And we'll get that to you, and we can stay in touch about that. But we also have another tool that I want to offer to you for free and suggest that you use this tool before you get married and allow me or Sharon to counsel you and Scott of how to be like-minded when it comes to your finances.
Okay.
And you know what that is? That's called our couple's personality ID. If you go to crown.org, you'll see a cup of latte right there on the front page. Click there, and it actually shows you the marriage personality ID, and we'll get you the information you need for that. I also want to just tell you there's so many of us that wish we were in your shoes and that we had got started out right. So I just want to encourage you on the journey and encourage you with making some practical decisions about how you're handling your money, deciding which one of you will keep track of the finances. How will you pay for things? Will you use cash? Will you use debit cards? How you'll keep track of things. The more practical discussions you have, the less friction you'll have after you get started.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. This is wonderful.
Well, Mindy, this assessment will be for you and Scott. And once you participate in it, once you've gotten your results back, will you contact us again and let us look at those results with you? And maybe you and Scott can join us on a future program, and we'll give you some advice on how to begin your marriage on the same page.
Yes, absolutely. We will be in touch. Thank you so much.
Okay, Mindy, thank you for calling. God bless you.
I appreciate it. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, Chuck, so many of our listeners are just envious right now thinking, oh, my goodness, if I could have started the Money Map right from the very beginning, our path would have been so much cleaner.
Well, not only that, but this new assessment tool, the Couples Personality ID, helps couples pinpoint the financial habits of their spouse and truly gives them a roadmap for becoming one. That's where it's so difficult sometimes, Sharon, where couples don't know how to get on the same page. And if they use this assessment, they'll be able to see where they're different. Obviously, they're going to be different, but also to have a plan to get on the same page. Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me today is Sharon Epps. We're taking calls from our listeners. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
The Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. This package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. With three colorful compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C, your kids will learn to give, save, and spend. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through a compelling story, simple Bible studies, and fun hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Help create the right financial habits in your children by investing in their future with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're taking calls from our listeners. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. And Sharon, we've got time for one more call.
Our next caller is Jeff, and he's from Liberal, Kansas. We're glad to have you with us today.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. Welcome to Money Life.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. What can we do for you?
Well, my question is whether credit card companies will negotiate with somebody who is actually current with their accounts for like a short-term reduction in payments so that I can get a little bit put away in the bank.
Yes, Jeff, they will do that in certain circumstances. You're going to need to be prepared when you talk to your creditors and ask them for that benefit or that modification. Are you working with anybody right now to help you be prepared to talk to your creditors?
No, but I've done some research.
Okay, and do you have some idea of what your debt-to-income ratio is right now?
Yeah, it's about 50%.
Okay, so that's a pretty difficult situation. But you still have a good credit score, is that right?
Yes, fairly good.
Okay. Well, I know, Jeff, when you contact your creditors, they're going to want some data from you, and they're going to want to see, and they're going to ask you if you're prepared. Are you living on a budget? Do you have a plan? What kind of terms do you need to get back on your feet? They're not going to eliminate your debt. They're not going to make it go away, but they may adjust your interest rates or some of your terms in order to be sure that you're able to stay current.
And, you know, Jeff, let me ask you, are you currently employed, or what is your income situation?
Well, actually, I'm working three jobs at the moment. I have a primary job, and then I have a couple part-time jobs. So I'm actually got a little in the bank at the end of each month, but not much.
Jeff, I was just going to say how much I appreciate you obviously have a true commitment to getting out of debt with those three jobs. And I would really like to recommend that you consider implementing what we call our crisis budget. It's even though it's not you're not in a jobless situation, with 50% debt to income, you'll be climbing this mountain for a while. And so what I would really advise you is to look at the crisis budget. We'll send you our PDF that gives you step-by-step ways to make short-term adjustments so that you're able to start getting ahead. So even if those lenders do agree to a short-term modification, let's see if we can attack the bigger problem.
Okay.
And Jeff, we've got trained Money Map coaches online available to help you with that and to help you to be prepared to negotiate with your creditors.
Okay.
Okay, Jeff, stay in touch and let us know how you're doing.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you for calling. God bless you.
Thank you.
By the way, don't forget that we are listener supported. It takes the faithful, generous support of our partners to make this outreach possible. And if you'd like to give to Crown, you can go to crown.org and click donate online or call us at 1-800-722-1976. Well, I hope you got your taxes paid today and that you'll be back again with us next time. You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley.